There's nothing on earth that compares to the Catholic priesthood. And today, priestly vocations are booming. Welcome to Vocation Boom Radio, the show that highlights the glory of the priesthood and promotes priestly vocations through exciting information and lively interviews with priests, seminarians and their families, vocation directors, seminary rectors, bishops, and those with a passion for promoting vocations. Here's the host of Vocation Boom Radio, Jerry Usher.
Okay, well, I'm not Jerry Usher. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, but Jerry Usher will be back next week. I'm guest hosting today. I'm the other half of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, heard weekdays on EWTN at 9 a.m. Pacific and noon Eastern. So thank you for joining us on Vocation Boom. That means you have an interest in vocations and you want to see it grow and flourish. You want to support vocations. And if you do, then I ask you to kindly visit vocationboom.com. Possibly make your tax-deductible gift there, your end-of-year gift. It's just an amazing ministry to support. May I suggest ordering Vocation Brew Coffee? A family of Brazilian farmers for over 100 years. The coffee is fantastic. And Vocation Brew right now is 100% of the proceeds go back into the ministry to support priestly vocations. And all you have to do is go to vocationboom.com. They have discernment decaf, evening vespers, morning lauds. I mean, it's just truly amazing. And so I put all three in a wonderful gift basket or in a spiritual coffee mug, and that's what I give. Just wanted to suggest that early on in the show if you're listening. And it's kind of fun, and it supports the ministry. So go to vocationboom.com. That's what I'm giving this year, and I got the 10% off, and I'm very excited. It was very affordable, and I felt great supporting vocations. Okay, so today on Vocation Boom, we have a guest with us, a priest of the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas. And I want to introduce him, but I want to share a little bit about his background. And then I want to bring him on to Vocation Boom. And I'm hoping that you would want to ask him some questions about his vocation or the vocations that are happening in his diocese, whatever's on your mind. I want you to really think about it for a moment and then call in, because when we have these conversations, it helps all of us to understand vocations better and how we as the lay faithful can really support vocations. So without further ado, let me introduce and share a little bit about Father Scott. Father Scott Walsh is director of seminarians in the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas. He is a native of St. Louis, Missouri. Oh, I've got to talk to him about the hill. That's where the Italian food is served so beautifully. It's called The Hill in Missouri. Oh my goodness, I just love it. Father Scott attended college in Kansas and worked professionally for 4 years in Kansas City as a structural engineer. Father entered Mundelein Seminary in 2005 and was ordained in 2010. He was the parish associate at St. Joseph from 2010 to 2013. And he has spent time as a chaplain at St. James Academy High School from 2010 to 2014. He is involved in campus ministry at Washburn University and at the University of Kansas. He's the chaplain to the deaf community throughout entire priesthood. Oh, how beautiful. We've got to talk to Father about that. In his free time, he enjoys, this is so cool. Listen up, you guys. He enjoys running, soccer, art, architecture, history, and science. Father Scott Walsh, welcome to Vocation Boom.
Thanks, Debbie. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, that is cool. What a cool bio. But this is what I find really cool is I've got to go back real quickly. So you are native of St. Louis, Missouri. Have you, obviously you've been to the Hill, correct?
I have been to the Hill. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Father, the first time that I was driven through the streets of St. Louis, the folks that were driving me said, okay, now just get ready. Since you're Italian, get ready. As soon as we cross this area that's called the Hill, you're just going to love it. I literally could smell the Italian food cooking on the streets. I mean, it's amazing. You have the best. I mean, really, I'm from New Jersey and I am 100% Italian, but you have phenomenal Italian food in St. Louis.
Yeah, it was always a great place to go with your family or, you know, go out with friends. I actually went to high school just 5 minutes from there. So we would go over there every once in a while when we got off for a half day and get an Italian sub at Amaghetti's or something like that.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. But now, so tell us now, to date, right now, you've got a lot on your plate that you are doing by way of your assignments, and share a little bit about how vocations are booming in your area in Kansas.
Yeah, so we are very blessed. Kind of in the Midwest in general, there's a great blessing of lots of vocations, and we're surrounded by several dioceses that are really they're really booming, and God is being very gracious in that area, but he is in our archdiocese as well. About 20 years ago or so, maybe a little bit more than that, Archbishop Kelleher took over as the archbishop here, and at the time he only had two or three seminarians total. Thanks to his efforts and to the efforts of our current archbishop, Archbishop Joseph Naumann, between the two of them, they have said vocations are important, and this is something I'm going to put myself behind. And they did, and they've worked really hard, and we're reaping the fruits of that now, having just a lot of really good quality seminarians, discerning the priesthood in a various seminaries. So things are booming. There's a great culture of vocations in the archdiocese. Lots of people really caring about vocations. Lots of Knights of Columbus councils that support vocations. We have some really good Sarah clubs. Some of the best, I think, in the country, really, if I could say so, that are really working hard to promote vocations. Mm-hmm. And then just really good priests and lay people who have a great desire to see vocations boom here and have put in a lot of effort to put those numbers where they are. And so, yeah, there's a lot of good things going on here in terms of vocations, and I'm just blessed to be a part of that.
Mm. Father Scott Wallace is with us on Vocation Boom, and we're so glad you joined us, dear listeners. So stay with us. We're going to have a very, I think, a very fruitful conversation about how we all can participate, like Father Scott was sharing about Sarah clubs and just building a culture of vocations by community effort. And Father Scott, when you said that it's important for us to be behind it and the effort that's being made, obviously by our shepherds who are saying, yes, I want to support vocations. So our bishops and our archbishops who are saying, yes, this is how we do it. And then to support the local community efforts like Sarah Club, just like you were saying, because I agree with you, I'm part of Sarah as well, and they do great, great work in building just an awareness of vocations and a support for vocations. My question to you is when you, all this effort that it's taking, and obviously it's bearing fruit, you have 32 seminarians, but here's what I wanted to ask you. For those of us that are listening to this program and we're really not sure what's our first step, obviously it's prayer, Father, right? Prayer, support,
right.
You need. Okay, what else can we do? Obviously join Sarah, but what else can we do? Are there other, even just personal ways? Can we personally adopt a seminarian? You know, can we personally, what can we do to just continue the support of the efforts that you're making?
Yeah, there's a lot that people can do. They don't maybe think that they can, but there's a lot of different options for people. like you said, the first thing is to pray. Every vocation is the fruit of prayer. And I oftentimes will walk into an adoration chapel and there'll be a note on the door that says, you know, please pray for vocations. And there's no better place to do that than before the Blessed Sacrament. So if you're not doing that, let's start there. but there's a lot of other things that you can do too. As you said, there's the Sarah Club or the Knights are very supportive. But we're also trying to establish in most of our parishes vocation ministries. So these are just ministries within the parish that help to promote a culture of vocation in the parish. And so they work with the local pastor and, you know, do things like Priesthood Appreciation Sunday or Vocation Awareness Week. They do 31 clubs where someone's praying for vocations every day of the month. They do Vocation Cross programs where they'll give a cross to a family and give them prayers to do throughout the week, and then they bring it back the next Sunday and it's given to another family. Do vocation panels for grade schools, and there's just a lot of really cool things that you can do as part of a vocation ministry. And just a plug a book called Hundredfold by Rhonda Grunwald, and it just gives you tons of ideas of what you can do for a vocation ministry in your parish. So if your heart is really on fire for it and you really want to see the people around you, you know, praying more and encouraging vocations more, to talk with your pastor about the possibility of starting a vocation ministry if you don't have one.
Mm-hmm. I would say, I love that, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah. Beyond that, I mean, even if you don't feel called maybe to get in a specific ministry, there's two other things. One, living your own vocation. It's a good reminder that every single person has a vocation, and God has called everybody to some life of service, to care for some people with your whole heart and to pour yourself into that. People who live out their vocation and really each day get up and do their best to love the people that God has placed into their life in the midst of their vocation inspire other people to think about their vocation. And so living your own vocation deeply is super important. And then go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I keep going, Father. You're great.
Yeah.
I'm taking notes.
And then the second thing is, you know, if you see someone that you think would make a good priest or sister or religious, you know, or even, you know, a good parent and spouse or whatever, like, encourage them, say something to them. There's research that comes out every year on the most recent ordination class throughout the country. And that information comes to all of us to kind of give us trends and see where vocations are coming from. And one of the things that I noticed a year or two ago was that the average new priest or the new priest on average was encouraged by three different people to think about the priesthood. And, you know, you could be one of those three, but you have to say something, you know. So don't be afraid to encourage someone, because even if they push back or even though I never want to do that, like, it plants a little seed in their mind, and then God can work with that and maybe turn it into a vocation later on. So yeah, so just being kind of that the eyes and ears of your vocation director in your own diocese, and be looking for people, and then if you see someone, again, tell them, but then also, you know, give a note to your pastor that that's someone that he should be paying attention to. And then hopefully he'll transfer that on to the local vocation director. And then that young person can be invited to events and various things to help them to discern their vocation.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I never heard that, Father, that it takes about three times before a person, when they have actually moved to the next step of entering into the vocation. That's very interesting. So we got to be prompted by the Spirit and act on it, is what you're telling me. That's what I wrote down, Father. So,
yeah, for sure.
Very. That's fascinating. Father Scott Wallace is with us. He's the Director of Vocations and the Director of Seminarians in the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas. We'll be speaking to him the entire hour. We're going to just take a short break. And when we come back, I want to just talk to Father Scott about the fact that throughout his entire priesthood, which is relatively short so far, but he's been dedicated as a chaplain to the deaf community. And I want to ask him a little bit more about that, because I think that is equally as fascinating. So this is a Vocation Boom. Jerry Usher will be back next week. I'm Debbie Giorgiani. We're going to take a short break. We'll come back with Father Scott in just a moment.
Have you told your priest how much you appreciate him? This is Vocation Boom Radio.
Invite a powerful and dynamic Catholic speaker to your parish, conference, or retreat.
I am God's son. I belong to the Father. He loves me. He has empowered me. And whatever challenge I face, I'm going to overcome. That's masculine genius. But let me ask you a question. What is your plan? What is your plan for achieving holiness? Your mission is in heaven. What's your plan?
Be introduced to Joe McClain.
How are you going to achieve a state of grace today? How often do you get to the confessional? Do you try to take in an extra mass during the week? Do you examine your conscience every single night? I know a lot of people, saints, who get to heaven because they laid it all on the line and gave 110%. What is your plan?
Book Joe McClain today by contacting Third Millennium Media at thirdmillenniummedia.com or call 541-212-8616 today.
Online, on the radio, or TV. This is Vocation Boom.
Renew your mind with greater hope and purpose. Coming to a conference, retreat, or parish near you. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he's the greatest of all kings and the Lord of all lords.
Popular Catholic radio show host Jerry Usher.
I didn't know the blessing, God's blessing. And what that is knowing who I am, and you knowing who you are before God.
Catholic Church religious demonologist Adam Bly.
The spiritual world is very legalistic. The demons are bound by rules. If you learn the rules that they are bound to operate under, God's rules, you're greatly empowered.
You can book Adam Bly, Jerry Usher, or Deacon Harold Burke Sivers today. Contact Nick Scott at Third Millennium Media, 541-212-8616, or at thirdmillenniummedia.com. We know you like listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio, but have you thought about bringing them to your next event? No matter what type of event you're hosting, parish mission, conference, or retreat, trust Jerry and Debbie to make it come alive. Begin the process today of taking your presentation to the next level of success. For information on booking Jerry and Debbie, visit take2show.com, click on the J&D logo.
If you know a man who would make a good priest, tell him so. Vocation Boom Radio.
You're listening to Vocation Boom Radio. That's right. Our guest today is Father Scott Wallace. He's the Director of Seminarians in the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas. And Father Scott and I have been chatting at the beginning of the show, and he was sharing some great insights on what we can do to support vocations. And even by you, dear listener, listening to this show, you are supporting vocations, because hopefully after you're done listening to the show, you'll maybe say or devote some of your prayer your prayer regimen to the support of vocations. And Father Scott, before the break, I was fascinated by when I read your bio. Well, I kind of got a little off track, I'll be honest with you, Father, because I started thinking about the Italian food in St. Louis. And I'll be honest with you, Father, I got a little off track because...
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I know. I know. It tugs at my heart, Father. It just does. But here's the thing that really fascinated me. You've been a chaplain to the deaf community your entire priesthood, and you've been a priest since 2010. I find that fascinating. Is there someone in your family who is deaf? And obviously you must, do you know sign language?
So, yeah, I don't actually have anyone in my family who's deaf. I learned a little bit of sign language in one of my reading classes when I was in grade school, and it's fascinating, but I didn't really remember anything besides the alphabet. When I graduated from college and I was working, a friend of mine invited me to join her to teach at a local parish in their religious ed program. And that parish happened to be the parish for our local deaf community. And so I never had any deaf kids in my class, but there were some in other classes. We were teaching eighth grade, and when we would all get together, I would kind of be fascinated by the interpreter that would be with them, and just it really got at me thinking, like, what are sacraments like for them, and what is their experience of Mass, and what is their experience of the Lord? When it always has to kind of come through an interpreter. And so I just found out a little bit more about what life was like for them and just got more and more fascinated with it. And then in the seminary, I went to, as you said earlier, I went to Mundelein. And each year when you're in the seminary, you do an apostolate. So you're out in the community somewhere caring for other people. And I was a chaplain for juvenile detention center. I helped with RCIA. But one year you got to kind of design your own track. And the year before, a couple of the seminarians had learned sign language from the local priest up there, Father Joe McCrone, who works with the deaf community up there. And he had taught them how to say Mass. And so when I heard that that was a possibility, I looked into it. And so throughout that year, he would come and teach us sign language. And then I also got plugged in with the community back in Kansas City. And I was fascinated with it, but I didn't know just how much it was going to draw me in. I just love being a part of that community. They're such a good community, and they've been so patient with me because, yes, I do know sign, but I've never formally taken any American Sign Language, so my grammar is really bad. But they're so patient and loving and supportive. And so twice a month on the same weekend, I have Mass in Sign Language for one in Topeka. Wow. And then one in Olathe. So we have a great local deaf community. And so I get to, as I said, say Mass for them and do the sacraments for them and just get to hang out with them a couple of times a month.
Father, the reason why I ask you that is that's when I got down to that part of your bio and as I was introducing you. I've always been fascinated by our hearing impaired Catholics because when they do at some of the masses that I attend, we have folks that step up and do the prayers and the Mass in sign language for them. But I've often watched them and they have to focus in. Obviously, you know, because of and that I think is so beautiful because many of us get easily distracted but they are very intent and and they are focused and they are deliberate about their being conscious of where they're at and what they are interpreting. And I sit in awe of them. I have to tell you, I've always felt that way, and I've never got to express it. But now that I read that that's what you do, I can imagine that it is very fulfilling for you to minister and to be the chaplain for that wonderful community. Simply maybe because of that they're so focused.
Yeah. So I personally could not be an interpreter, like not in the way that true interpreters do it. I mean, they are amazing people. And cause you're listening, but then you're signing just a little bit behind that. And you're right. You got to be totally focused the whole time, but to watch a good interpreter, it's a beautiful thing. And so, yeah, that's something that's probably beyond me. At least certainly not right now, but, yeah, a good interpreter is beautiful to watch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the reasons that I was drawn to that ministry, again, was just trying to figure out how they experienced the sacraments and the Mass. And interpreters do a great job, but that's like one more person through whom they have to go. And even when they go to confession, sometimes they'll actually bring an interpreter in with them.
Oh,
and then that interpreter is bound by the same seal as the priest is. But I mean, in my mind, I'm like, that would be really awkward, you know, to have mm-hmm. another person in there with you hearing your sins and all that. And so being able to receive their confession, and, you know, them not having to go through another person, you know, that's one of the most fulfilling parts of it, is just letting them be as closely connected to the Lord as anybody else would be, that's pretty fulfilling. You're right. Good interpreters. They're very focused, very talented. And, it's really a beautiful thing to watch.
Well, and like you said, and the hearing impaired themselves are equally as focused, because it has to be they have to be in that connection, that communion, if you will, which I find very interesting. When I've never known that, it didn't dawn on me, and I've been in ministry my whole life. That makes complete sense that they would bring them in and they would be bound by the confessional, and they would have to bring another person in as an interpreter. Wow. Talk about a humbling experience, Father.
Right. So sometimes they might go in and, you know, if a deaf person can read lips, maybe they'd be able to have a conversation, or they'll like write things out. But some of them do bring an interpreter, and you're right. They have to be very focused. I mean, they can't just be kind of looking all around and everything. If they want to know what's going on, they've got to be focused. Mm-hmm. But it's also been good for me, because as you say, like when we're doing it every day, it can become a little rote maybe. And as a priest, you don't want to say that happens, but it does.
It's human nature.
When I'm signing it, when you're signing, you're like, you place where God the Father is, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You place where Mary is, and you're changing your focus and the direction of your body based on who you're talking to, and it makes you think about the prayer a lot more. Like, oh yeah, right now I'm talking specifically to God the Father, but at this point I'm talking specifically to the Son, and so it makes you very focused on the words and the trajectory or the direction of the prayer at the time. And I find that when, you know, when I'm not worried about getting the wrong signs, but when I'm able to just kind of enter into a Mass and sign, like that can be some of the deepest prayerful Masses for me, because you really are thinking about what you're saying and who you're saying it to.
Right. Very intentional. It's very intentional. As you were speaking, I had Holy Spirit goosebumps all over me. I could feel, just as you were saying, that exact definite intention that you have to really zero in on what you are saying and what you are feeling, and then the emotions and the contemplation and the deeper sense of it. Naturally, you must enter into that better. So, yeah, that is fascinating. Wow. Well, Father, let's transition the talk just a little bit because, and by the way, thank you for being the chaplain for the deaf community. That's a beautiful part of your ministry, I'm sure. And I just want to thank you.
It's a blessing for me more than anybody else, but you're welcome. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, we're talking with Father Scott Wallace today for the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, because there's Kansas City in Missouri too, correct, isn't there?
Right, so that would be the Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was always, everybody, when I used to say, where are you from? They say Kansas City. They would say, I'm on the Kansas side or I'm on the Missouri side. So,
yeah,
I always
you don't want to cross that border.
Oh, that's too funny. Well, let's kind of move into this area because this is near and dear to me, Father. I have 25 years in religious education, youth ministry, and teen ministry. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this. And I think we're probably going to have some phone calls come in on this because we have a lot of listeners that are very they're very passionate about youth ministry. Okay, so Father, let's talk a little bit about this. In addition to all of your priestly duties, you're very passionate about, for vocational recruitment, if you will, you're very passionate about having a good high school and college campus ministry. Talk to us a little bit about that, and again, what we can do to support that, because I will tell you, Father, a lot of, like I said, 25 years in religious education, I've been a lot of high school and college campuses don't have that active ministries. And Newman Centers are doing a great job, but I tell you, there's a lot that there's a lot of gaps, if you will. So what can we do?
Yeah, for sure. I got to be a chaplain at a high school at St. James for 4 years. And then as you said, I'm living at the St. Lawrence Center now. So those two things are near and dear to my heart, but they also, are very important for vocations. There's a principle, I guess you could call it, in vocations, and it's called 11 and 11. And that's that people tend to think about their vocations most at the age 11, so when they're in fifth grade. So we do a fifth grade vocation day each year, kind of getting the kids excited about vocations and getting them to meet priests and seminarians and religious, but then also in 11th grade. And obviously that makes sense because in a junior in high school, you're starting to think about your future and, you know, or at least is becoming more, it's around the corner. And so juniors tend to be thinking about their jobs, what colleges they're going to go to and their vocations during that year. And so having a good campus ministry that can kind of lead them will be very, very helpful. The school that I was a chaplain for, just a great Catholic school. We're blessed with really good Catholic schools here in Kansas City, but St. James, they're very much open and focused on helping everybody there find their vocation. And there were two programs that were helpful. One of them was called the Magnificat Society, which was started by my predecessor. And we would just have young men who were open to discerning their own priest, their own vocation, and then praying for other vocations in the school. They would get together during their academic time, and we would pray evening prayer together. And then maybe we would have speakers come in, talk about vocations. We'd go over a certain aspect of the priesthood. Like one time I got a Roman missal, and, you know, where the book that the priest prays his prayers out of. And right. I talked to them about where everything in is cool. in it, because I honestly didn't know where to find stuff in the missal until I was a deacon. So, you know, just talked about various aspects of the priesthood and got them to think about their own vocation. And then through that group, you could invite them to the various things that the vocation director for the archdiocese was putting on. There was also another group there called the Fiat Society that was started and kind of inspired by the Magnificat Society. And that did the same thing for women. So there were two religious sisters who taught at the school, and one of them would run that group, and they would meet and pray together and then talk about female religious vocations and kind of pray about their own. And there was a lot of fruit that came from that. I think we've had maybe 7 or 8 young men who have, in the school's only maybe 12 years old, 7 or 8 young men who have gone into the seminary, and then 5, 6, 7 women who have entered religious life. So there's fruit that's born out of being very intentional mm-hmm. about vocations in your high schools, because kids are thinking about it. And if it comes up and they've got someone that they can talk to about it, that's going to be more helpful than if it just comes up and they're like, okay, that's great, but I don't know what to do with this.
Right.
And I think that having, when bishops have the ability and the foresight to put full or at least half-time chaplains in their high schools, you're going to see vocations out of that.
Interesting.
Especially if there are chaplains that love the priesthood and really kind of get involved in the kids' lives and are decent preachers and all of that, that can be huge. And so that's really important on the high school level. In our high school that I helped at, they would have mass every day before school started. And you'd have anywhere from 50 to 200 kids who would be there at morning mass. And that was really instrumental too. I mean, you can't be around the Eucharist without mm-hmm. the Lord speaking to you a little bit about what he wants from your life. So having full or part-time chaplains and having regular mass every day, I think can be big for a vocation boom in a high school. And then on a college level, I'm at, as I said, the St. Lawrence Catholic Campus Center, and it's really kind of funny that I'm there. It shows how awesome God is, because I went to the University of Kansas. That's how I got into Kansas from St. Louis. And I got very involved at the St. Lawrence Catholic Campus Center. There was a great priest there, Father Vince Crishy, and he was the first. I had known really good priests, but he was the first priest who made it really apparent to me that the priest is married to the church, because he loved the church. And you could tell it in his homilies and the way that he would talk about her. He would do anything to defend her. And that really was inspiring to me. A priest that loved the priesthood and loved the church made me want to love the priesthood and love the church too. And I didn't go into the seminary while I was in college. I ended up working for 4 years because I had my own plan and I was trying to go in a different direction. But in college, when I would think about the priesthood, I thought, man, it'd be really cool if one of my best friends who was thinking about the priesthood and I were there at St. Lawrence, like we got ordained and that's where we were. And 20 years later, that's the case. So he's running the center.
Wow.
And as vocation director, I'm living there. So, God's pretty awesome, but
oh yeah, that's God's providence. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. But they're it's a good, healthy, robust Catholic campus center, and there are a lot of people there that are thinking about their vocations. And we have a lot of young men who have come from the center and have been ordained over the last 20 or 30 years. I think I was maybe the 33rd or 35th priest from the center. And it's because you just, even though people graduate high school and they go and they get into their majors and they think like they've got their plan, college is still a good place for the Lord to be tapping on their heart and saying, maybe I've got something else for you.
Yeah.
And if you're at a place and surrounded by people who love the Lord, who are open to vocations, who want to follow the Lord, mm-hmm. you're going to be inspired to do that more, and you're going to be more likely to listen to the Lord's promptings there. And so a good, solid, robust campus center can be big for vocations in a diocese.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's a great, great reminder that we can't just let the school system, wherever our children are placed, whether it's public school or Catholic school, we can't just let it kind of just run on its own autopilot. We have to be there and, like you said, have chaplains there, be one-on-one connecting with our youth and helping them to helping and cooperating with the discernment process. So I'm all in favor of that, Father. Father, real quickly, we're going to hit the pause button. So I want to take our next break, but Father Scott Wallace is with us. He's the director of seminarians in the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas. Let's go ahead and take that other quick break. When we come back, we'll get to some calls, and I want to wrap up on how you can all stay in touch with Father Scott. He's a great, great priest and a wonderful person to talk to. So we'll be right back on Vocation Boom Radio.
Have you told your priest how much you appreciate him? This is Vocation Boom Radio.
Enjoy some of the best coffee on earth and help promote vocations in the church at the same time. If you like the idea, then you'll love drinking Vocation Brew, a fresh roasted premium coffee available in three delicious varieties: Morning Lauds Italian Roast, Evening Vespers Dark Roast, and Discernment Brazilian Decaf. Our coffee partner, Nossa Familia, has been growing beans sustainably and ethically for six generations on a family farm in Brazil, and they're Catholics too. Fantastic coffee and an opportunity for you to assist in promotion of vocations at your parish. It's a win-win situation for everyone, since all the proceeds from the sale of Vocation Brew go right back into our efforts to encourage others to consider God's vocation for them. Place your order today at vocationboom.com. That's vocationboom.com.
Hello, my name is Father Paul Hazen, Dean of Seminarians at Kenrick Seminary.
Hi, I'm Father Chris Lemieux. I'm the Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of Toronto.
Hi, this is Father Joe Fitzgerald, Director of Vocations for the Diocese of Rockville Centre.
This is Father John Schnobrick from the great Diocese of Burlington, Vermont.
Hi, my name is Father Keith Romke for the Diocese of Rockford, Illinois, and thank you for listening to Vocation Boom Radio.
Inspiring, engaging, life-changing. Third Millennium Media proudly presents Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Sometimes when we get put in charge of stuff, we get a little cocky. Oh, I'm in charge, huh? I'm the boss. And we forget that we are all under the authority of Christ.
Protection from spiritual warfare from Adam Bly.
The spiritual world is legalistic. The demons are bound by rules. If you learn the rules that they are bound to operate under, God's rules, you're greatly empowered.
Grow in holiness from world-renowned Catholic radio host Jerry Usher.
This region of the world longs for the flame of your faith, for the flame of your charitable witness to be a beacon of salvation for your brothers and sisters. And the responsibility is great.
Coming to your parish, Jerry Usher, Adam Bly, and Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Contact thirdmillenniummedia.com or call 541-212-8616 today.
This is Vocation Boom. I'm Father Howard Lincoln. You know, I want to thank you for listening. We hope that Christ has enkindled your hearts with perhaps a spirit to explore vocations. And we thank you very much for considering that. And God bless.
Pray for more priests. Then get involved in making it happen. Vocation Boom Radio.
Since its official beginning in 2009, Vocation Boom has steadily grown into one of the most influential vocations-promoting ministries anywhere. Our efforts include an award-winning website, vocationboom.com, our weekly Vocation Boom radio broadcast, and a television show on EWTN. Our television show features deacons, priests, bishops, and laypeople who know the importance of presenting a joyful priesthood and inviting other men to answer the call. We look forward to having you join us for Vocation Boom TV.
If you know a man who would make a good priest, tell him so. Vocation Boom Radio.
Yes, this is Vocation Boom Radio. I'm not Jerry Usher. I'm guest hosting today. I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Jerry Usher will be back with you next week. But I jumped in today because Father Scott Wallace is with us. He's the director of seminarians from the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas. And Father Scott, I'm excited because Mary Ellen has been waiting so patiently online, and I'm going to bring her on so she can ask her question. I told you that we got passionate folks that are listening to Vocation Boom that are passionate about our youth. So Mary Ellen, you're listening in St. Charles, Missouri. Welcome. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to Vocation Boom.
Thank you so much. Father Scott, thank you so much for answering the call to the priesthood. I'm sure your family's very proud of you. And you sound like you're a wonderful priest.
Thanks. Thank you.
Just wanted to ask a question of you. If you mentioned that fifth grade, 11 years old, and 11th grade are two key areas that you work with the kids. I am helping to prepare our daughter for confirmation and wanted to know if you can recommend any good books that might be not only help in confirmation preparation, but also to help send her in a direction to start thinking about her vocation.
Yeah, that's a good question, Mary Ellen. And I wish I had a lot of answers for you. I've had other people ask me that too, and I know that they're out there. One of the ones that I like to recommend is Did Adam and Eve Have Belly Buttons? You know, 101 Questions About the Faith. I think it's good for someone at about that level, at the eighth grade level. And it's just got some good, insightful questions that they're probably asking that and good good answers to that. Beyond that, I would have to think about it. I don't really have any others right on the top of my mind, but I think besides just having good books, also just getting them around good people is very important. And so having a good relationship with your local priest. And if you have sisters in your parish, having a good relationship with them, because I think more than anything, that's going to inspire young minds when they see happy and healthy and excited religious and priests. That's going to really get their wheels turning.
Okay, very good. Well, Mary, thank you very much again. Thank you for the gift of your priesthood, and for saying yes to God's call.
Well, thank you, Mary Ellen.
Mary Ellen, before you go, real quickly, EWTNRC.com www.thebblessingfood.com. They have great resources there. If you want to peruse the website, there's some resources on also, like Father was saying, a lot of times you can't recall the names of certain resources that particularly pertain to vocations, but EWTNRC has some great resources there on DVDs, CDs, and actual books. But also, I don't know if you would concur with this, Father, but Life Teen has done some great articles and different pamphlets, if you will, on discerning vocations.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. Okay. EWTN has a lot of great resources, and Life Teen's good too. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, Mary Ellen, they're out there. The resources are out there. But like Father said, that just finding good support right in your local parish, I think that is key. And it sounds like you're a super supportive mom, and that's awesome. I think that's, don't you feel, Father, that having the parents' support?
Yeah, keep up the great work there, Mary Ellen.
Very much. We'll pray for each other. How's that?
That's great.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mary Ellen.
Thank you.
Thank you,
you
for calling. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Father, let me ask you a question. We've got another call coming in we're going to try to take. But before we do, how can folks reach you? I mean, you have a couple different websites. I want to make sure I get it correct. You have the diocesan website that's kckvocations.com, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. And so they can reach you there. But then you have your own kind of personal one that, well, not really personal because you're a priest, but,
yeah.
But
so,
is it?
So like, yeah, like, go ahead.
Go. No, you go ahead. I want you to tell us how we can get in touch with you.
Sure, yeah. So like a lot of priests, I like to put my homilies online. So you can go to Father Scott, all one word, .weebly, weebly.com. And there are audio, probably 200 audio homilies on there. And then there are also good links on there to other, probably even more exciting and interesting websites. But yeah, so kckvocations.com and fatherscott.weebly.com. Or find me on Facebook.
Oh, wow, cool. That's very nice. And also, our folks can listen to the rebroadcast of this wonderful show on vocationboom.com. And also there's Facebook, Vocation Boom Facebook. Don't forget to like us there as well, because that's a great way to stay in touch with all of our priests from around the country, actually from around the world. We have priests from all, it's international, where priests really love the ministry of Vocation Boom simply because it's devoted to priestly vocations and what we can do to support that. So, kind of interesting, Father. So we're just checking in about 30 seconds. I want to try to get David from New Jersey on, but I didn't get the signal yet from Rich Jesse if we're good to go yet. So I wanted to just again ask you one other thing. You talked about age 11 and 11th grade. Father, yeah. I just wanted to share with you, I fully concur with what you said. I have a graduate degree in theology, and my master's thesis was on adolescent spirituality, where I did case studies of children when they discerned vocations. And that is absolutely accurate based on my research.
Well, maybe it's your research that we learned from. I don't know. But, it seems to be true in my ministry that those are two really powerful times.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so David from New Jersey actually just wanted to suggest something for the conversation. So thank you, David, because he knew we were running out of time. So David from New Jersey said, the caller suggests Matthew Kelly's series of DVDs written with a teen age group in mind. Okay, well, we have to research that, because I Matthew Kelly does great work. So if he is doing stuff on for the teens, then I think that would be fabulous. How do you feel, Father, if Matthew Kelly's doing it?
Yeah, for sure. There are lots of good resources out there. We just don't have them off the top of our head. But yeah, Matthew Kelly probably has something great.
Right, right. So, Father, as we're getting ready to close, we only have about 90 seconds. Would you please, first of all, I want to thank you. It was such a delight to be with you. Thank you. Thank you. Could you impart to us a blessing for all of us?
Sure. Yeah. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us your Son. So I ask you to help all these wonderful people who are interested in vocations and interested in living their own vocations to have this be a very powerful time for them and prepare to be great evangelists to the world. And bless them all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Scott Walsh. God bless
you. Thank you, Debbie.